Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero. Thanks for listening to The Tour Coach. These are the players, coaches, experts, stories, and insights from my work on the PGA Tour, at my retreats, or my downtown teaching center in Mobile, Alabama. My goal is to shed light and share insights from the people who I've gotten to know and meet working on the PGA Tour and teach it through my career. And I hope this helps all of us play, coach, and teach better golf. If you like what you hear, please give us a good review and take a look at our new Dew Sweepers YouTube channel or the Dew Sweeper on Instagram, where I've taken some time to share videos of help from my teachings, travels, and journeys. All right, so here we are. See how good that was, Kevin? Another retreat weekend down at the Rick Smith Performance Center at Trump Doral. We're at the Carolina Ale House. Give them a little plug. Yeah. Maybe I'll get like a free beer out of this or something one day. Ian Highfield with us. First time I've been able to work with Ian.
Yep.
Super excited about that. It's been pretty cool. Good friend Kevin Sprecher. Yep. We've got multiple Kevins in. And then Kevin Kirk, my buddy, who's here. And Kev, it was cool. That's the first time I've gotten to teach with you. I mean, we've done some stuff, but like where we taught a whole day together, us, and we didn't mess anybody up too bad. So I think we did all right.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin brought down a great group of kids, and right. I think they were all pretty far along. So I mean, there wasn't much for us to do except just try to reinforce some of the stuff that he was working on. But it was great to be able to kind of get in there with you, and we can kind of look at the swings, pull the hood of the car up, and talk shop a little bit, and try to figure out, okay, what can we do to make this better? So it was a great weekend for me. I've had a blast, and appreciate Kevin and Ian bringing everybody down, I just tell you, you're always welcome back to bringing that group of kids back anytime.
Yeah, so oh, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah. Look, I enjoy it. I think, you know, a lot of the kids, they're still talking about the stuff that we did last year.
Right.
When we worked together. You know, and how some of the things that you told them, they're working on, and it works right along the way what I teach. And I love exposing my students to other teachers, because nobody, like us, we were talking about before, nobody knows it all.
Right.
And so for them to hear something similar but from a different way, from a different background, was just really helpful for me.
Let's get Ian's opinion on this. And I'm going to go around the room here, around the table. What do you think about getting other opinions and stuff? I think it's healthy. Kevin knows this. Sprecher knows this. Like, I've brought plenty of my professional players down and asked Kirk to sit in and watch them with me and give opinions.
Yeah.
We've had some that are struggling, and I've said, hey, like, I'm stumped, like, what, you know, and maybe where I want to take this, because it always kind of happens this way, like, is I wonder if maybe coaching in the future, is it healthy and will it go that way where maybe we ask for more help than just one guy standing out there on an island doing everything himself, right? Is that, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's happening a bit now anyway, because it's becoming kind of like a team sport. So I'm super dependent on you guys, right? You guys today, yesterday you looked at the swing mechanics, gave in-depth analysis, and when the kids came to my station, they can clearly articulate, okay, yeah, this is what the guys want me to work on. And then I'm putting them into a task, or I'm giving them drills that actually help them do that.
Right.
So for me, I can't work on my own. I'm dependent on being a part of a team with you guys. Then probably an extension of that is a physical trainer. And then an extension of that might be a stats guy. So I'm already like part of a team. So I'm not necessarily seeking a second set of eyes. I'm seeking different advice from the mechanics, from the physical, and trying to draw it all together and put it into a practice plan.
Kevin, what do you think? I mean, what do you think that's something that, I'm just curious, your thoughts. You've taught many tour players than me. I'm just curious how it's going
to
go.
I think the idea of team coaching is here to stay. I think it's clearly a better way to do it, but it does require discipline. And the discipline that's required is that there has to be, you know, in golf, it's so interesting, and particularly on the PGA Tour, you'll have a player who has a strength coach, a swing coach, a short game coach, a physio, have six or seven people that all report directly to the player. And the problem with that is that it floods the player with too much information.
Yeah.
And so I think that probably the future of it is maybe developing a model where you have all the service providers, like, and the service providers actually report to a head coach like they do in other sports.
Yeah.
And so that the information can be managed and processed and not blow the people's heads up that we're trying to coach.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in the situation that Kevin is clearly the head coach, right? And we all know that and respect that. So that's why this can work great. So it's like, what have you and Kevin been working on? Let's try to support them, right? But in the real world out there, a lot of the kids are dragging around these teams of people that are bombarding their brains with all this information. And
so how do we as coaches stop that? Because I've dealt with that, right? And I think as you go up the ladder, it gets harder, because I think as you go up the ladder, you've got agents, parents, wives, you got lots of
influencers.
Shit, right? That's a good word. Influencers. I'd have gone something different, but that's influence is a good one.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's one of the challenges of what we do. And it's tough with kids, gets tougher with college players, and it gets harder with tour players. But like, how do you, as a player or a coach, how do you battle that?
I think it really kind of goes back to, you know, the idea that when you're dealing with a coach or an athlete, there's an ecosystem around that player. There's always one influencer that you have to figure out who that person is and trying to manage that one person, because they can turn the ship upside down in a heartbeat.
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes it's a sibling, sometimes it's an uncle, sometimes it's a parent, but you need to figure out who that person is and get them on board as quickly as possible and make sure they're part of the discussion, that they feel like they're kind of included in kind of what's going on, because the second they don't feel that, they will derail it. I've experienced that. I've watched it happen at all levels of golf. And so I think that, you know, being more disciplined with the way we manage our teams and try to make sure that when we're looking at the ecosystem, trying to identify the influencer, who's the person that has the most influence on that person, and make sure that we onboard them into the discussion, they'd actually have to become part of the team.
I think in teaching in general, there's a lot of info out there. I had a young teacher, I may have told you this, Kevin, but I had a young teacher call me not long ago and said, hey, I've taken X certification, X certification, X certification, X certification, and I feel like my business is worse and I'm a worse teacher. And he asked me advice, and I said, I think you need to sit down and you need to really organize what you think, right? And I think that's the danger with these teams, is like there's no organization. Everybody's spewing stuff in, right? And from your point of view?
So that in a way, that's not necessarily a team, right? That's individuals providing information. I think if you look at this camp that we've done,
mm-hmm.
we operated as a team. We knew who we operated together. We had three different pods. People rotated through the pod. Everyone knew what their role was within that pod. I didn't start coaching swing mechanics or fitness when you guys told me, hey, specifically, it's effective practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, if the team communicates and they do, like you said, have a CEO or someone at the top, I think it's efficient. I think it's dangerous when it's not a team and it's seven or eight individuals all putting the information.
That's good.
That's the problem. Yeah.
And I, you know, with these events and these things, and I work with a lot of different people, I build teams around my players. I try to find people that I trust so that I know they're going to follow my lead, basically. And so, you know, I chose you because I trust you, and I know, and Kevin was there. I know Kevin's background. I trust him. Ian and I have worked fabulously over the last 5 years with many different players. And so I think finding a team like that, but it's people that you trust, that you know they're going to respect whatever that team leader is. I know you guys are going to respect what I'm doing with the players. You're not going to say anything to opposite what I'm doing. And if you do, you'll pull me aside and say, hey, what do you think about this? And we'll have a conversation about it, and we'll both agree on it, and then go back to the player. And I think having that kind of a team is, you know, is reliant upon whoever the leader is for that player. And you got to choose different teams for different players, because I got
different
seven
strokes are different.
I got seven different kids down here, and they're all similar, but I don't use everybody the same with them. So it's finding the right mesh for that.
I got to give Kevin a shout out though, because he's kind of a rare breed. When he first introduced me to a couple of players and his wife Debbie, he really helped me establish my business. And I would say to my wife at times, hey, this guy's recommending me players. He's not asking me for any money. He's not asking me for this. Like, what's going on? And he literally had the student at the heart of what he was doing. He put the student first and was like, I think Ian can help this student. And then, like he said earlier, he's up north. You're down here. He puts the student first. Hey, go and see this guy. When you're down in Doral, go and see this guy. When you're here. And I think sometimes the coaches put themselves first and their needs, their needs, their ego.
That's another podcast.
Their needs, their ego. So Kevin's really like helped me see that. You talked about Greg earlier. Because of being with Kevin, I would definitely send a player to Greg and say, Greg, can you have a look? What do you think? Can you help me out? And that's something that he's taught me. And I think, again, that's why this is... has been such a success and efficient team because of that kind of mindset.
I think it's about one of the things that we, you know, there's two ways that you can gain information through your own trial and error or through other people's experience, right? So the idea there is we all, over our lifetime, we assemble these networks of people that we that become our support team, right? So if I get stuck on something, this is my go-to guy for that, right? And I think what happens is when you start getting a group of people together, the network of service providers is, I mean, it's crazy how the quality of people that you have access to.
Right.
But to Kevin's point earlier, each one of those service providers it's almost like they match up nicely with a certain type of personality type, but they won't work for somebody else. Mm. And so you can't, it's not like you just throw this one person at them all the time. It's crazy. But that goes back to the, you know, to Kevin being the head coach, being and picking the people that he thinks are the right support team for. Because I would tell you that group of kids over there, they probably don't have all the same support groups. They all probably have a little, maybe.
Correct.
Some of them do, but I think there's probably, you know, so just based on personality, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, they all. I mean, look, we all have to. For me, it's about the student. I've always put the student first. You know, I'm successful because my students are successful. And I like to see them grow as players. And like I mentioned to you earlier, Kev, I learned from watching you guys teach and listening to what you guys say.
I think that's why we like doing it. I've changed a lot of the way I teach in the last year to where I like to do stuff like this where I collaborate with other teachers. Because I've seen the players get better. I use this loosely. Like, I feel like I've gotten better, right? And also, for me, it's become more fun, you know? And I also wonder if the day of really getting better and developing people in the one-hour lesson and the 5-hour lesson series and the 12 lesson block or whatever is going away for really developing people to get better. Because like I had one of our professional players was here this weekend, Todd Green, and Todd was like, man, I love, you know, that like I don't necessarily sit with you for an hour, but you watch me for 25 minutes and then I process it and I think about it and I help these kids and I got to talk about what I'm doing. Then I come at the end of the day and for 30 minutes we work and then you go watch me on the golf course. And so what I'm saying, like, and this might be an Ian question, but like, is that a better way to learn than you go into somebody hammers you for 2 hours straight?
Yeah.
And then you're on your own.
The simple answer. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So
next question.
So, I think the three great things if you want to learn: spacing, variability, and challenge. So if you're going to learn something, you need time between repetitions. Mm-hmm. So 25 minutes,
go away,
do something else. There's variability, there's space. Come back. Now you remind that person of that information. Hey, this is what we discussed earlier. The brain has to process that because it's forgotten it. So the whole goal of learning is not to get hold of something and keep it. It's to lose something and be able to recall it. And that's, you know, we talk about block. If we took it more on a micro scale, we talk about block practice. So because I'm the practice guy and I talk about it, people see me as anti-block practice. I'm not, but blocks are five balls. Get your block in, get that feeling, lose it by going and doing a different task, going and doing something else, come back, then you get to that block of five and your brain has to work hard to recall that information. And that's what makes swing changes stick. That's what makes information stick.
Let me ask you this question. I'm gonna target in on Ian for a minute. So I'm on my third glass of wine. Like, so I'm big on doing practice plans for my kids.
Yeah.
Or players. And I give them ball counts. I don't like people to go by time. I like them to go by ball counts because I feel like if they have a specific task to do,
yep,
they're more committed.
Yeah.
And I like to go like, I want you to hit 20 balls, and every five balls, I want you, after five balls, I want you to do X, whatever it is you're working on.
Yeah.
Drill. Then go back and hit your five balls and do that.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you can take a person and give them 40 balls, they count them out, and it's going to take them way longer, and they're going to get more out of it because they're actually paying attention to what the hell they do. But if say, go hit, I want you to go work on this for an hour, they ain't doing it.
So I got something to bring to the discussion. I think really ultimately what we're trying to develop with the players is competence, right? It's just competence. We want them to be competent, you know, it's to some benchmark that allows them to play at a certain level.
Right? Yep.
So competence comes from being given a task, being given a task, and accomplish that task frequently enough that the next time the task is presented, they feel good about it, right? So I think I've come to believe that some of the best training things that I've kind of put together, mm-hmm, are giving kids a set of a task and some benchmarks and getting it out of the way and letting them to figure it out.
Yeah.
With the least amount of invasion, you know, invasive, you know.
Yeah.
And so the learning becomes more organic, it's more meaningful, and it's much less invasive. I don't have to go through, I don't have to repattern their entire swing to try to help to create the desired outcome.
Yeah, I think, so there you would talk about, like, instead of instruction, you're creating an environment, and you're trusting that player is going to self-organize in that environment. Now, if they can't, that's when you can step in and be a coach, right?
Yeah, they can hold their hand up and say, I need help.
Yes, yeah. Correct. And if they can, and the great thing about what you said is at the end of the day, you're almost doubling down there because as well as the spacing effect and variability, they're now reflected. So, like, so many players want to be great, but at the end of the day, they're not journaling on what they learned that day that could make them great. The first thing you guys did at this trip, that's when I was like, oh, I'm going to have fun here, was you're like, guys, get your pens, get your pads out, take notes.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero here, host of the Tour Coach Podcast. Thanks to our great sponsors, Srixon Golf and Bushnell Golf, we're working to help spread the word about the Tour Coach and get more people to download and get more people to listen to it. I have so many DMs every week from golfers, from teachers, just people that are passionate about the game of golf that love our authentic, our raw approach. It's unproduced. It's just natural. It's from my travels, teaching and working on the PGA Tour, teaching at our retreats, just conversations with the very best in the world of golf. And we want more people to know about it. So Srixon and Cleveland Golf and Bushnell and I have teamed up to give away some stuff. And here's what you have to do to win and help spread the word about the Tour Coach. All you have to do is go on to Apple iTunes and give a review of the Tour Coach, then screenshot it, and then post it on Instagram or Twitter and tag Srixon and Bushnell and myself at the Dew Sweeper on Instagram or at Dew Sweeper Golf on Twitter. And what I'm going to do weekly is draw from those people that tag me on social media, as well as Bushnell and Srixon, and I'm going to do drawings for Wingmans, Dew Sweeper books, new Srixon golf balls and wedges. We're going to give away a ton of stuff each week over the next month. So spread the word about the Tour Coach, give a review, screenshot it, and post it on your social media channels and tag me at the Dew Sweeper and at Dew Sweeper Golf. And we're going to be spreading the word and spreading the love and helping people play better golf.
One of my mentors, Mark Wood, he always wrote a note card for everybody at the end of the lesson, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I've adapted that to where I make them write their notes in their phone or, you know, it's hard. I was texting with Brett McCabe actually the other day about it, like, is this, you know, and I was like, hard to get them to write nowadays, but they all have a damn phone. right? And I think it's important. Like, we did that every day, yesterday, today, at the end of each session. Get your phone out, write it down. I think that's a big deal for them. I really do.
Huge. Yeah, I would agree. You gotta like, I guess some would say, and I don't know how accurate this is, close the learning loop. And again, you want time.
There's nothing accurate in this podcast.
you want time. So I always actually talk about PAR. P is plan, A is act, R is reflect. So in practice, we're gonna make PAR. Now, when these kids turn up, we've done the P, right? We've done the plan. They act it out. So in that environment, like you were talking about, they're acting it out, and we can step in and we can help them find solutions. And then it's done. And then they go away. They eat their food. They go on their Instagram. They do whatever. And then that last part, that reflection, again, because there's been time, the spacing effect, and there's been variability in task, they have to challenge their working memory to recall what they did today. So it's far more powerful than coming for 1 hour, getting the information, shelling balls for an hour, thinking you've ingrained something and leaving. That all the learning scientists will tell you that's ineffective.
I've had multiple tour players, college players, and juniors tell me when I thought a weekend wasn't good. Right, we all get to the end of these weekends sometimes and we feel like maybe we didn't give them enough time. But I've had multiple times where they've said, like, man, it was the best weekend ever. And I'm like, what? They're like, man, I got to see you for 15, 20 minutes, ask a question, you filmed me, you showed me something, and then you shoved my ass out the door and I went to work on it. And then 2 hours later, I got to come in and ask a question about it and go do it. And I think there's got to be some validity to that.
Yeah, I think that it's them taking ownership of their learning, and where they're given some information, they have to kind of go out there and find meaning in it, try to try to get themselves organized about it, around how to execute. So it's, I do think that I've moved to more in my coaching more of an organic form, where I try to give them more space to take that on and not try to steer it too hard. You know?
Right.
So here's the compass heading, right? You're clear on where we're going. You're clear on all right, so here's the tasks that are associated with you. And you accomplish those tasks frequently enough, you'll develop some confidence, okay? I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to let you go try that for a while. Okay? And see if you can organize around it. If you could, then great. If not, hold your hand up, and then we'll come back in and gather up and try it again.
And I had a tour player today call me and say, hey, been working hard. I hadn't played great. Basically, I need to just go play for a month is what we agreed on, right? I know you're going to come up next week, this week, watch play if you'd like. I don't need any info. Go play golf. And I think that, like, people are scared of that, right? Like, people are scared of, oh, well, they don't need me. You said something to me, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about something on the phone. You're like, if we do our job, we teach our way out of a job, right? But I think, like, we give them a bunch of info, and I think sometimes you got to step back and give them some time, you know? And I think I did that with Richie, actually. Like, wanted to make a change. We gave him a bunch of info. Didn't play great. Swing's looking better on video, but he doesn't know how to play with it yet. I think it's healthy to let people go play for 3-4 weeks.
I also think one of the mistakes, I mean, I'm that guy that's got every week at the same hour, I'm by the hour up in New York, but I think the mistake that young teachers make is they feel like someone's coming to them, they have to teach them something, maybe even something new. And a lot of my stuff is, what did we do the last time? And if they don't remember, well, here's what we did, and it's 15 minutes of teaching and 45 minutes of supervised practice. And watch them do it.
But that's okay.
And I think, that's what I'm saying, I think it's great. I think young teachers are always afraid of not saying something new. I remember I was working with Faxon a long, long time ago, and Bob Rotella was there. And Rotella saying to Faxon, because what do you expect from coaches? Every time you go there, you expect them to tell you something different. And there's nothing different. It's the same thing. You're just looking for something, something different to hear. But it's not there. So I think the players are always thinking, I ask these kids, what do you want to work on when they come to see me? And I get a blank face. They're just there because their parents told them to come there, or they were told to take a lesson. And so I think young teachers have to be really careful with giving out too much information, and it's okay to sit there and say nothing.
I think that, and we could go deeper into this, but I think young teachers also, or up-and-coming teachers, there's so much information out there. And I just think that there's this, I think that there's this feel that if you keep getting certified and you keep getting information, you're automatically going to be a better teacher. And I don't know that that's the case. I really don't.
Yeah.
Well, I think,
what are you laughing at, Ian?
You do know that that's not the case.
I mean, I like to pretend sometimes I don't have an answer.
I think you have to have a basic philosophy of what you want to know or what you want to teach. Like, I go all these certifications as well, but I just take little bits and pieces out of it, and because I want to hear what they have to say and I want to incorporate it into what I'm doing. It's not gonna change my shift in the way I teach,
right.
And anything like that. And one of the things, I worked for Jim McClain for 25 years, and one of the things I really respect about Jim, and you watch him, it's just, he's teaching the same stuff today as he was when I started working for him 30 years ago or 25 years ago. And I respect him for that. You know, a lot of other coaches will completely shift plans and philosophies and do different things. And that's one of the things I respect in Jim. And I've incorporated that into myself, is I'll take stuff that I learned from Kevin and from Tony and other stuff from Ian and build it into my philosophy. But my core stuff hasn't changed in 20 years.
That's why you're good, though.
And you have an identity as a teacher, right? Like, players have to have an identity as a player. They have to be comfortable with the way they're going to go about their business. Like, Bryson versus Koepka were two very different identities. I think coaches are the same. You've got to be very comfortable in, hey, this is me as a coach. And you're not going to check every box for every person. There's definitely people that shouldn't work with me that would be better suited to go and work with someone of a different person.
Work with me.
Yeah, there you go.
Be a bad match.
Yeah.
I want to go back to that idea about the young coaches. I do think that, you know, we're in an era now where it's all about evidence-based coaching. It's all about objectivity. But really good coaching, there's some subjectivity. There's some intuition. There's you know...
it's an art.
It is an art. And so I think that the best teachers I've been around have the capacity to handle the objectivity, but they are also, they're very intuitive. They use some of those softer skills a lot more than you think, right? Because it's not all about the X's and O's, right?
Right.
How am I going to get this kid through this channel where he's been struggling for 4 months to onboard this stuff and to be able to kind of go through the learning process and be able to kind of pop out the other side, you know, whole, right? Yeah. I mean, so it's not just about the X's and O's. And so you start unloading the gun of objectivity on somebody, you can harm them, man. You can hurt them.
Yeah.
So it's you need to be honest with them, but man, you got to be careful. You're dealing with human beings.
Yeah, very true. I think we get it. Somebody asked me this. You and I have touched on it briefly, Kirk, and that, like, with all the science, and I think the information's great, but I also think how it's dispensed to a person is important. Somebody asked me this evening about, like, what I thought of 3D and this, that, and the other, and I said, I think it's great, but I prefer it to be, the info to be gathered and kind of explained and given to me and me dispense it to the student instead of it coming out of a fire hydrant at a player where everything's given to them and they hear everything, right? And I think that technology is a challenge for us because that's another avenue that we have to navigate and say, like, hey, you know, and sometimes 3D doesn't match with a tour average or what somebody is, but it's how they play their best golf.
I mean, a lot of technology is based on modeling to begin with, right? So there's some assumptions that are being made that may or may not be applicable, right? So it's always an N equals one in my mind. You know, it's always a population of one.
Absolutely.
And so you got to start with this individual. I mean, I keep going back to Jim Furyk. Jim Furyk blows my mind. I mean, best player of his era. Completely competent in everything he does. Nothing looks like golf.
Yeah.
No. I mean, he blows apart everything, right?
Yep.
And, you know, I swear to God, if that kid would show up in my office, I would ruin him. I know I would have.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, because I didn't have the discipline. It didn't look right to me. Right? Nothing that... Mm-hmm. And I would have immediately said, you just can't do that. So I'm at a point now where I can see it differently. I mean, if you're competent, my job is to understand how you do it and try to support that.
Yeah. And going back to Tony's comment about the 3D, that, you know, technology, it's just a training tool. You bring in an expert to do 3D, whatever. They're just a high-tech training tool. But, you know, but the information, like, I agree with you, it has to come from the coach. training tool tell me what the information is, let me decide what's good for my player and what's not good
for my player. So it goes back to the idea that there's a case manager or some sort of head coach.
Right, yeah. You're right on that.
It goes right back to what you said, yeah.
Because it has to go back through somebody who can decipher, right?
Absolutely.
And you know, Colby Touye said this to me once. We were having a conversation. It may have been on, but he's like, you know, the best success we've had is when the swing coach is the CEO and everybody knows their lane and it goes there.
Yep.
But every time it falls apart, a player falls off the list, off the rocker, and everybody gets fired, is when somebody other than the head coach starts talking to the player and thinking they got a better idea.
Yep.
And it never ends well.
Yeah.
How good of friends, how good a dude they are, whatever, it never ends well, yep. Right? Like, it just doesn't, right? It always works best when everything funnels through it.
So, golf is the only sport in the world where we coach that way. If you look at football, soccer, whatever sport, baseball, there's a head coach, and all the coaches report back to the head coach.
Yep.
All the service providers and the assistant coaches report back to the head coach. They don't report to the player.
Yeah.
In golf, we're all trying to get the player's attention. We compete for it. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
I think that's why one of the best training aids would be Coach Now.
Yeah,
Coach People Now's talk good. About training aids, yeah. And immediately they'll go to something they put on their club or whatever. But Coach Now creates absolute transparency.
Yep.
It allows the player to write, plan, act, reflect, like we said before. It allows me to see it, allows you to see it, allows Kevin to see it, allows Tony to see it.
It's like a locker where you can store all the information.
Correct. If someone weighs in, we all see it.
Correct.
So at core, where I'm at, all our kids are on Coach Now, and it's probably the best environment where coaches haven't got territorial over junior golfers. Because if a kid comes up and says, hey, coach, can you help me out? They'll look in the Coach Now. Before they give any information, they'll look in the Coach Now, and they'll look at what their main coach or their mentor, they'll look at the pathway they're on, and they'll just support that pathway.
So it's assigning a case manager.
Yeah.
Letting that case manager manage the team, right? Manage the distribution of the information, periodize that, and make sure, hey, listen, I'm going to be calling you 3 months from now, but right now I need you to sit tight. We got to get these other things done.
Okay?
Once we get into this next phase, this next kind of this preseason, I'm going to need you to step in and help. Okay, but for right now, you're not off the team. I just need you to sit tight and let us get this other work done. Yeah.
Right.
And then the player is getting one message. That this is and you've done a beautiful job with that. I mean, watching all those kids, I mean, they know exactly what's going on.
Yeah,
so
for
impressed.
Sure.
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
And the big thing is, I can tell how much they care about you. Right, which I think in the end is the most important thing.
Yeah.
And that's always the thing I care most about what I do, right? I mean, in the end, that's what we're trying to do, I think. You know?
Yeah. We're just trying to develop good people that
good
have
people.
Golf in their life. Hopefully, you know, get some somewhere along the way.
Do you guys want anything
else? Big college or something along those rounds. And it was just, you know, it's all about the kids. You know, for me, it's all about the kids and the students.
They just heard our waitress. I mean, it's just wonderful. And, but anyways, I thought it was a great weekend. And I don't say it very often. Like, I thought it was one of the best flowing weekends I've had teaching, doing this. I've done these retreats for several years. Been bringing them down here to Kevin and Rick's place for since December, and it has flowed beautiful. Ian, man, it's been awesome. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I'm really
am.
I'm kind of pumped. I'm going to let you do it all, but I mean, at least I'm honest. Kevin, it was fun teaching with you.
It was fun today.
Kirk,
yeah.
Man, we had a blast.
It's really fun.
We messed them up quick. I like that.
I'm looking forward to working with Kirk tomorrow. Listening to him talk to the players.
Be good.
And I love the way we've had a chance, everybody's had a chance to kind of hang out together.
Yes, I learned that actually in my early years of teaching. Rob Akins, good friend Rob, did a junior thing up in Nashville, and he invited like four or five top teachers, top 100 guys, whatever. And they got to bring their assistants. And they Rob took their assistants and put them with other teachers so you couldn't teach with the guy you were with.
Wow.
And it was genius.
That's a great idea.
And I was so scared to death. I was with Tom Ness, and I mean, never spoke. And I was worried to death because he's a genius. And then he broke the ice. He told me, we were walking up to this point. I'm going to end the podcast with this. We're walking up to this kid, and before he goes, what are you thinking? I was stammering. And he goes, come on, you can't f*** him up so bad I can't fix him. That's how he started the thing for me. And the rest is history. But
that's perfect.
Awesome.
Brilliant.
Ian, great to teach with you and hang out with you. Spreck, you're the best as always. We'll
thank
do this
you.
Again.
Yep,
Kirk, man, can't thank you enough for the opportunity to be down here. look, if people are out there and you want to come have a good time, come have a fun time down here and learn the game with me and Kirk down here at Rick Smith and Trump Doral for one of our retreats, and we'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Tour Coach. I want to take a minute and thank Cordy Walker and Golf Science Lab, as well as my sponsors Strixon, Buick, Bushnell, and Vineyard Vines for helping make all of this possible and helping me share my insights with you. If you like what you've heard, why don't you check out more on the Dew Sweepers channel on YouTube, as well as the Dew Sweeper on Instagram, or go to dewsweepersgolf.com to find out more about my teaching, my travels, and where you can find out more about me.